Good morning. I am Drew. And during these difficult times, there has been a movement that Family Services Supporting Tulare County has been a part of because it has affected the young people of the new generation, and even stirring up some information from years ago when it comes to sexual assault, domestic violence, and rape. And we have Katie Meter from Family Services on with us this morning to kind of give more information about how, if you have been affected by sexual assault or if you've been raped and you have never said anything, now is the time to do it. And now is the time to stand up for yourself and to get that information out there. And Family Services is a great organization that can help you every step of the way, from just talking about it right up to moving on with your life and taking the next steps. And if you haven't yet, go over to fstc.net, which is the Family Services Tulare County website, to find out details. And you can even make donations if you haven't been affected, but you want to help those that have. You can go there. And Katie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me again. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And I know that we talked, it seems like just a couple of months ago, but things have developed in such a huge way over the last couple of months when it comes to people standing up and speaking out about some difficult situations. And I know that one of the hardest things to ever speak about would be a rape or a sexual assault or domestic violence. And it's a tough conversation to have, but it's needed if there has been something go on.
Definitely. And I think at the onset of sort of these shelter in place or, you know, stay at home orders back in March, we definitely had concerns about the safety of survivors, specifically those who are dealing with domestic and sexual violence. A lot of times those things are occurring in the home. And now we've got people staying home, staying put, and sometimes that means in proximity to an abuser. We definitely had concerns about how this would impact children.
And as we mentioned a little bit ago, it is very difficult to come forward with a story like this. And as you say, the volume of the stories that are happening, you have a hard time wrapping your head around those numbers. And as a matter of fact, looking at some of the victim stats, in a lifetime is almost 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men have experienced rape in the span of their lifetimes, which is absolutely incredible to think that it happens that regularly.
Right. And even that number is specific to the crime of rape. So when we expand the conversation to start talking about different forms of sexual assault that aren't necessarily, you know, categorized that way, you're looking at more like 1 in 3 women and 1 in 7 men have experienced either domestic or sexual violence of another kind at some point in their lifetime. So we know the numbers, and I think what we're seeing now is real stories coming forward that bring life to those numbers, to show people that these are not just, you know, these are not just numbers on a paper. These are real human beings and real stories of violence. So I think it's a great opportunity for our community and our systems to come together to listen to survivors and to respond in a way that helps them move forward, because we know all of the negative impacts that this type of trauma can have on you over your lifespan.
For those that are listening this morning, we're talking to Katie Meter from Family Services Tulare County. FSTC.net is where you can go to find out more information. Tell us exactly what Family Services does and who you help in the community.
Family Services has been around for several decades and doing this particular type of work, which really is about us helping individuals and families heal from violence and thrive in healthy relationships. We are most well-known likely in this community for our shelter, our emergency domestic violence shelter, which is Karen's House. So we operate a hotline for folks to get information about domestic violence or to seek shelter or other services. And then, of course, we run the 24-hour facility, which has been, we've been really grateful to have been able to do that safely thus far, even during the pandemic. So we're taking in families, and families are moving out. And so we're still staying busy there. But we've grown over the years to really a more comprehensive organization that has a lot of different services. And so we do operate the only rape crisis center for all of Tulare County. We operate several other programs, including a counseling center and parenting classes and different things that we really try to wrap around folks who've been through these issues to offer them lots of different types of services. But our rape crisis center, we've been operating since 1992. And we do serve all of Tulare County. So that really means we do 24-hour crisis response. So if someone has been assaulted and needs to go to the hospital for an examination, we will be there with them. We want to let them know what their options are and to have sort of a neutral advocate through that whole process. We can serve folks with counseling and crisis intervention and financial assistance and all these things. And for us as a nonprofit organization, it really doesn't matter if a survivor wants to participate in the criminal justice process or not. So if somebody is not comfortable reporting to the police, or they're not interested necessarily in you know, going through the criminal justice system, we can still work with them, and they still qualify for counseling and other services. We really want to help empower that survivor to do what they think is best for them. And sometimes that means, you know, participating in the criminal justice process and seeking justice that way. And sometimes it's more about an emphasis on themselves and their own healing.
If someone does choose to go the criminal justice and get the law enforcement in on the situation, one of the scariest parts of it is that, you know, the person will get out of jail or whatever. What steps does Family Services go along with the victim that has reported the incident?
Yeah. So if we have a client or a survivor who wants to participate in that process, we are there with them. We can, our advocates can attend interviews that they participate in with the police, just to be there as a support person for them, because that can be, you know, really scary and intimidating. They, our staff and clients, staff and volunteers can also attend the court sessions with our survivors so that they can have access to participating in the process. And we also, we work really closely with the victim witness advocates from the district attorney's office, who do a great job at sort of monitoring all the ins and outs of that process, because it can be really complex. So we work together with them. And really our role is to just be there to support the survivor in what they choose to do.
If someone is under the age of 18 and something is happening to them, whether they're being sexually abused or they're being beat on, and they're scared, but they want to seek help, can they come to you as a minor and say, I need help?
Absolutely. So there are different restrictions on what our staff are required to report. So specifically in the incidents of sexual assault or sexual violence, our sexual assault counselors are trained and are given privilege under the law, so that any communication between a survivor, even a minor, and that advocate are confidential. So people can contact us anonymously to get information, but we are definitely seeing an increase in the number of minors that are reaching out for information, that are asking for help. And again, we know that that is very likely connected to the fact that many of them are sheltering in place or staying at home with abusers, because the likelihood of an abuser being a complete stranger in cases of sexual assault is actually very small. Typically, especially when it comes to kids, we're talking about people who have access to these children. So family members, family friends, unfortunately, those in positions of authority with kids, like coaches and teachers. And we just, the numbers show us that that is actually much more likely to be perpetrators of sexual violence against children.
So I approached you, Katie, after mm-hmm. the story came out that country singer Lindsay L revealed that she had been sexually assaulted and raped not once, but twice, mm-hmm. the first being at the age of 13 by someone mm-hmm. that she very trusted. And everything you just said, she mm-hmm. falls in that category of mm-hmm. a minor that trusted someone and they took advantage of this situation. So it happens all the time. And she didn't say anything to her parents until she was 20. There are lots of people out there that feel ashamed or feel that it's their fault.
Absolutely, yes. You're completely right about that. I literally thought the same thing when you said that. We have so many survivors who've experienced this that feel like it's their fault, especially children. When this type of abuse happens to a child, you know, their understanding, their judgment is still developing. And so they are very prone to believing that it's their fault, especially if this abuser is convincing them of that. And so it's much like domestic violence in that there can be this kind of grooming phase and then also this sort of gaslighting where survivors question their own beliefs, their own understanding, their own, you know, experiences. Like, did that really happen the way I think it did? So I think that's extremely common. And I would want anybody out there who's listening, who's been through it, to know that you are absolutely not alone. That is so common. And that there really is help available. And there's help available that doesn't necessarily require you to, you know, go through a court process. It doesn't require you to have a, you know, confrontation with your abuser. I think that's what a lot of children fear, are the repercussions of that abuser being held accountable. And so we just want people to know more than anything, just to reach out, speak up. You're not alone.
A lot of what family services is there for is we're mm-hmm. helping you along in the process.
Mm-hmm. And we know so much more about trauma. And like in the case that you were talking about with Lindsay L, you know, we do see that once somebody has experienced these types of traumas, they become more susceptible to them in the future. So it certainly doesn't mean in any way that a victim causes the abuse, but we just see that statistically, once something has happened, like a traumatic event like this, you're more likely to experience it again in your life. And so we want people to know that they have an opportunity to kind of disrupt that, that compounding trauma, to get some support. And interventions have come a long way. I think people think about what we do and they think, oh, I'm going to go talk to someone, I'm going to go talk to a counselor. But we have lots of types of support. We have individual support like that for sure, and individual counseling. But it doesn't necessarily mean just sitting and talking about what's happened to you. There's a lot of different kinds of support. Like, we do this really cool therapy called EMDR, which is a technique that's all about brain balance, and our therapists are trained in that, and it has amazing results for dealing with trauma. We do trauma-informed yoga, which is really, you know, sexual assault is a violation of your body, your autonomy, your space, and this helps to center you back into that, getting back acquainted with your physical self. And finding ways to help with breathing and all of these techniques that help us cope through all kinds of stress. And so we do all of those different things, and we have support groups in English and Spanish. So there's a lot of different ways that someone might get connected, and we just want it to feel right for them.
You mentioned the different languages and the ethnicity mm-hmm. and race. And mm-hmm. Gender has no mm-hmm. boundaries here. Anyone right. of any race can be sexually assaulted and can be helped. You know, you always
Absolutely.
Hear where there are those that maybe are in lower poverty areas or lower income mm-hmm. areas that feel that, mm-hmm. that there's no one out there to help them. And Family right. Services of Tulare County is there to help everyone.
Right. Right. We have no limitations within Tulare County. We can serve people. It doesn't matter when this experience took place. For somebody, it could have been, you know, 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago. We're here with services. We have language capacity. So if someone feels more comfortable in English or Spanish, or we have access to even other languages, you know, through our support services, and race, ethnicity, socioeconomic level, none of that really has a bearing on whether someone can be a victim of sexual assault or not. So we want to make sure that we're here for everyone. We're very much LGBTQ inclusive. We really try to be, you know, supportive and open. And all we want is for people to get connected to help.
We are talking with Katie Meter from Family Services of Tulare County, helping all of Tulare County. It's not just a Visalia. It's not just a Tulare. It's all of Tulare County. And check them out at fstc.net. You can also help with donations that way there. And you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for Family Services TC. You hear the term sexual assault, and you hear the term rape. Can you tell us the difference between the two?
Sure. So rape is a very specific type of crime that does involve penetration. So it's very specific in the legal language. And in our world, we use the term sexual assault to sort of encompass the whole continuum of sexual violence, from inappropriate touching or types of sexual harassment, even verbal harassment, all the way to something like rape. So I know it's a very like scary word. It's a very technical word, I think, in our world, but it really can sometimes mean a lot to a survivor to be able to name that thing that's happened to them. And so that's really, we help people to find the words to talk about what they've experienced. It can really, it's on a continuum. So there are lots of different types of behaviors. Some of them are criminal. Some of them may not even be considered criminal, such as like verbal types of altercations. But it's really that whole wide breadth of what people experience as a violation of their boundaries.
And that's another great point, is when you mention sexual assault, it doesn't have to be a physical type of activity. Mm-hmm. There's a long list of things that fall under that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and some of those things, again, would maybe consider criminal, some may not. I know we're hearing a lot of stories coming out about, locally as well as nationally, just about, you know, harassment in the workplace, or, you know, behaviors such as, like intimidating someone and coercing them, or kind of forcing them verbally to engage in a situation that they're not comfortable with, because consent matters. And, you know, if you don't want it to be a sexual assault, you need to have that enthusiastic consent so that you're clear about what someone's boundaries are. And so that's what we're really out there trying to teach youth, is to know your limits, to know your boundaries, and to when you're ready to engage in something, being enthusiastically consenting to that, so that all parties are clear about the limits, because it can go pretty quickly from a consensual situation to something that's not.
And being vocal is definitely something that needs to happen. If you're not comfortable with something, you need to make that known.
Absolutely. And we always reinforce to people, because a lot of times folks will question, why did I do that? Why didn't I say this? Why didn't I fight back? And it's like, they did the most important thing, which was to survive.
If someone feels that they have been raped or sexually assaulted, what kind of an effect can it have on someone if they don't get help?
Well, you know, people cope in different ways. We do know that trauma can compound throughout your life. So those things, while, you know, one incident may, you kind of cope through it, you manage through it, as they start to compound, it can become more and more difficult to function. So we can see people with long-term physical health issues, mental health issues, substance abuse, or other, other types of violence like domestic violence and sexual assault. Often we see co-occurring situations there. So we really encourage people to get help. We know that it's really hard and really scary to come forward and talk about what is likely the hardest thing someone's ever dealt with in their life. But there are people out there who understand, who've lived it, who've seen and supported many, many other folks through it, and it can be done.
What are some of the programs that are available to maybe educate a family or a group of people to avoid situations that could get them into a situation like this?
So we can do presentations. We can educate the community more specifically about the issue of sexual assault. We've done those outreaches with churches who their leadership wants to learn about what that looks like, or clubs, or different groups like that. I think we're actually presenting in the next couple of weeks to, Rotary Club and to the juvenile court judges. And we're really trying to get out there and let people know what it is that we have available. But we, anybody can call our sexual assault hotline anytime, even if it's a friend or a family member or concerned citizen who wants to get more information about a specific situation, or who wants to learn how they can support a survivor in their life. So we're open to talking with families. We actually can do services for partners who are affected. We can help them with counseling. We can help them with family support, because it really is bigger than an individual issue at times. It can definitely affect the family or in that unit. So we want to make sure everybody feels supported.
We've talked that during the stay-at-home orders and a lot of home time that, there could be issues in the house, but people are also on the internet and on computers and on chat rooms and on apps, and that is a major problem and a major, entrance point for people to take advantage of people, too.
It's the one thing that if I could tell parents anything, it is to get on top of your kids, your youth, and their social media. It is an open window to your child's bedroom, is really how I look at it. And, you wouldn't leave your front door standing open or your child's bedroom window standing open. This is the same thing. I think we just saw in the news a couple days ago a case here locally where a gentleman was arrested for using, online services to connect with a 14-year-old child and went there for inappropriate purposes. So it happens, unfortunately, every single day. And even if you think that you kind of are on top of what your kids are doing online, verify. I tell my teenagers, trust but verify, because it does not take very much. And they're unfortunately some really proficient predators out there who are actively looking to find ways to access your kids. And so we really have to be mindful of what platforms they're on and how those platforms work. I just personally discovered, I did not know this, that Instagram, you can actually send, private messages on Instagram of photos, and they'll disappear after 24 hours like Snapchat does.
Oh.
So I had no idea. And I'm like, say what? So, and apps are changing all the time. Technology's constantly changing. So to be very much involved in that, I think, is the best thing that parents could do to be preventative. When we had Operation Babyface here in Tulare County with a human trafficking ring, it was almost 100% of those victims were accessed through online platforms. So we definitely got to keep that at the forefront.
Family Services, Tulare County, helping so many people out. And do not hesitate to go to their website, fstc.net, or hit them up on all their social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Search for Family Services TC. We're with Katie Meter from Family Services. And if I witness something myself, what can I do?
So if you witness something yourself, certainly I would encourage you to contact law enforcement if it's an immediate situation or if there's any inkling of danger. I think if you witness something that makes you concerned that someone might be experiencing this, I would always encourage people to approach the situation from a place of love and understanding, and letting a survivor know that they're never to blame for their assault. You know, there's no one way to act. There's no right way to be a victim, and that your survival is of the utmost importance, and that reaching out is really part of the healing process. So communicating that to someone if you suspect something's going on. And you can certainly, like I said, contact law enforcement if it's a dangerous situation. And someone could also contact us if they want to get more information, or if they want to share specifics about something they've seen that's made them uncomfortable and they want to know what to do. We can talk through that and what their options are, or talk more specifically about how to support someone in their life who may be going through something like sexual assault.
If someone were to call you because they did see something and they give you the information that they have, can you reach out to that person, or does that person have to come to you?
Typically, we will not reach out to that person. And the reason, again, is we try to stay centered on safety. So we understand that, you know, it may not be safe for us to reach out to that person. And so if a friend or family member calls, we won't necessarily, you know, pick the phone back up and call their sister that they're worried about. But we will give them all of the information to make sure that they can approach the situation and encourage that person to connect with us.
Talking to Katie Meter from Family Services Tulare County, and you guys work a lot with all the different resources in Tulare County, Health and Human Services. All of you work together to make sure that we're living in a safe community.
We're certainly trying to do that every day. I think our system does a great job of connecting with each other, and I think it really reinforces to me that it takes a lot of people and a lot of systems and a lot of support to help someone get out of a violent situation or to access services for their own healing. So it for me, it's always reaffirming to know that there is a whole team of us, regardless of agency, you know, working together to support survivors. So we definitely work across those lines quite a bit.
Maybe you haven't been a victim of domestic violence, or you haven't been a victim of rape or sexual assault, but you still want to reach out and help the Family Services helping Tulare County. All you need to do is go to the website, fstc.net. There's an easy way for you to donate so that you can help each of the different parts of Family Services. And you know, it could be a $10 donation, a $20 donation, or even higher than that. But it all goes to a good cause, because Family Services is a .org type of organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are a nonprofit organization. So a lot of times people will think we're part of the county because of our name. But we are a private nonprofit organization, and we do really rely on the generosity and support of our awesome community here to help us keep going. We've been so fortunate, even through all of the pandemic, that people have seen, you know, I really feel like they see the value that we bring to the community, and being sort of the only resource in this area. And we've really felt the support of the community. We had people step up. Our typically our biggest fundraiser of the year is in June. It's called the Guest Chef Series, and that raises funds for all our programs. And of course, we couldn't have it, and we were so blessed that so many of our amazing sponsors and donors came together and said, "Nope, we're gonna convert our sponsorships to donations, and we're gonna make sure you all make it through the year, you know, without having to worry about this funding." And so we're just really blessed and fortunate to have that support, so that we can be here another day for another survivor.
Katie, we cannot thank you enough for all that you do and for coming on and relaying the information to us, so that hopefully someone is listening and will stop what's happening to them, or at least try to get help. And thank you so much. Again, go to fstc.net, find out more information, make a donation, or find the information to contact Family Services supporting Tulare County. And Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Drew. I really appreciate it and getting a chance to get out there and just let people know that they are not alone and we're here for them.